Now there are many professing Christians who do not think that you ever can know that you are forgiven while you remain in this world. They are not of this mind merely because they are ignorant of the gospel, but because that gospel is beclouded with errors. Their teachers throw dust into their eyes, or envelope them in mist. They see men as trees walking, and no more. They are brought up in orthodox fashion to repeat a mournful litany, and to call themselves miserable sinners, in stereotyped phrases. They are taught to go on forever asking for pardon as if they had never received it. They are made to look upon themselves still as needing to be dealt with as lost sheep, and reconciled as rebels. Their standing is always at the foot of Sinai. They are not taught that the Lord has forgiven us all trespasses. Their church, as if to chasten it for its alliance with the state, has lost the jubilant tone of faith, and made its daily service rather a wail for sinners than a song for saints. It is not always easy to be calm and prudent when you are provoked, and to be quite restful when everybody speaks ill of you, or tries to lay traps to catch you. But the child of God should try so to master himself that all the dogs that bark can no more disturb him than the baying of a hound would turn the moon out of her nightly course. But now I find an aching void. The world can never fill. Never be happy unless you are truly resting in Jesus. Are you in very deep trouble tonight? Do all God's waves and billows go over you? Does deep call unto deep at the noise of his waterspouts? Then expect that now some great blessing will come of it. That stone on the lapidary's wheel has been cut, and cut, and cut again. That other stone in the corner of the shop is but a common pebble, and he never vexes it upon the wheel, for it is worthless. But the more precious the stone is in his esteem, the more diligently does he cut its facets. And lastly, canst thou say that Jesus Christ is in thee? If not, thou art reprobate. Sharp though that word be, thou art a reprobate. But if Jesus Christ be in thy heart, though thy heart sometimes be so dark that thou canst scarcely tell he is there, yet thou art accepted in the Beloved, and thou mayest rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If man could wear his sins on his forehead, he would pull his hat over his eyes. That old Roman who said he would like to have a window into his heart that every man could see within it, did not know himself, for if he had had such a window he would soon have begged to have a pair of shutters, and he would have kept them shut up, I am sure, for could he ever have seen his own heart, he would have been driven raving mad. So one poor man, one ignorant man, one weak man, even one backsliding man, may be the means of the conversion of a whole nation. Who knows but that you who are nothing now may be of more use than those of us who appear to stand better before God, because we have more gifts and talents. God can make a spark set a world on fire. He can light up a whole nation with the spark of one poor praying soul. You may be useful yet, therefore be of good cheer. He will not cast thee away, poor Ephraim, only come back to him. He will not despise thee, though thou hast plunged thyself in the mire and dirt, though thou art covered from head to foot with filthiness. Come back, poor prodigal, come back, come back. Thy father calls thee. Hearken, poor backslider. Come at once to him whose arms are ready to receive thee. To those who are weary and spent, the word rest is full of heaven. We are always in the field of battle. We are so tempted within, and so molested by foes without, that we have little or no peace. But in heaven we shall enjoy the victory, when the banner shall be waved aloft in triumph, and the sword shall be sheathed, and we shall hear our captain say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He must deal out God's word impartially to rich or poor, to good or bad, and he must determine to have no master except his master who is in heaven, no bit nor bridle for his mouth, except that of prudence and discretion, which God himself shall put there. There is an old proverb that he is a great fool that is laughed out of his coat, and there was an improvement on it, that he was a greater fool who was laughed out of his skin, and there is another, that he is the greatest fool of all who is laughed out of his soul. You have losses in business, vexations in the family, you have all crosses to carry, but my text comes to you, and it says, if you cannot bear this, how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? If we cannot bear the little trifling pangs which come upon us in our ordinary circumstances, which are but as it were the burning of your hands, what shall we do when every pulse beats pain, and every throb is an agony, and the whole tenement begins to crumble about the spirit that is so soon to be disturbed? Come, let us pluck up courage. We have to fight the giant yet. Let us not be afraid of these dwarfs. Let the ordinary trials of every day be laughed to scorn. In the strength of divine grace, let us sing without poet. Weak as I am, yet through thy strength, I all things can perform. The actual thing called death, as far as we know of, does not cost a pang. It is the life that is in us that makes us suffer, but death gives one kind pin's prick, and it is all over. And we will bid adieu to dear ones, they shall have the tears, but we shall have the joy, for we go to the islands of the blessed, the land of the hereafter, the home of the sanctified, to dwell with God for ages. Who will weep when he starts on such a voyage, and launches on such a blessed sea? Learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross, so that when the last conflict comes it may find you able by the grace of God to bear the brunt of the final contest with unflinching courage. And as the last preparation of the end of life, I should advise a continual course of active service and obedience to the command of God. They know nothing of the joys that are to come, and alas! For them, they are oblivious of the evils which shall happen to them if they go on in their iniquity. The mass of mankind are ignorant, they know not, they have not the knowledge of God, they have no fear of Jehovah before their eyes, but, blindfolded by the ignorance of this world, they march on through the paths of lust to that sure and dreadful end, the everlasting ruin of their souls. Brethren, if we be saints, let us not be ignorant as are others. They never watch against sin, they never watch against the temptations of the enemy, they do not watch against themselves, nor against the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eye, and the pride of life. They do not watch for opportunities to do good, they do not watch for opportunities to instruct the ignorant, to confirm the weak, to comfort the afflicted, to succor them that are in need, they do not watch for opportunities of glorifying Jesus, or for times of communion, they do not watch for the promises, they do not watch for answers to their prayers, they do not watch for the second coming of our Lord Jesus. These are the refuse of the world, they watch not because they are asleep. But let us watch, so shall we prove that we are not slumberers. The fearful panic in America has mainly risen from disobedience to this command, be sober. And if the professors of America had obeyed this commandment, and had been sober, the panic might at any rate have been mitigated, if not totally avoided. Now, Christians, this is your case. Your life is a life of warfare, the world, the flesh, and the devil.